Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you have Bloomberg Radio's complete program guide at the touch of a finger? Just slide your screen to the right and look for the green schedule icon. If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Fidel Gate is with OPCO. He will explain this. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Consensus was weaker oil, weaker global demand. I'm sorry, oil's going the other way.
Correct.
Why?
Well, a couple of things. People realized finally that if and when the economy starts to pick up, oil prices will continue to rise because demand would be significantly higher. Having said that, there is still tremendous fear in the market that we could have supply disruption from the Middle East. All you have to do is watch the 7 o'clock news, and next morning you go to your broker and say, you know, give me an oil contract that oil prices will go higher.
We've seen gasoline go up about 27 cents a gallon in the past couple of weeks, according to the AAA. Doesn't gas usually get cheaper this kind of year, or at least plateau after the usual Memorial Day spike?
Correct. But what we had here is that crude oil prices increased over the last 8 weeks by $20 per barrel for Brent and $15 per barrel for WTI. And for every $10 change in crude prices, you'd expect to pay 20 cents more for the gas at the pump. So gas prices must move up by at least 20 cents from they were only 6 weeks ago, and actually they are probably going to go higher.
I mean, I look at it, and of course, Exxon, from the gloom of May, I think you were on with us then, to your great credit, touting a persistence, a long-term value. Exxon, 78 to 86, 78 to 87, plus that cash flow of the dividend. Now what? Have hydrocarbon equities, have they made all their gains now in this surge?
Well, absolutely. Exxon, for every dollar change in crude oil prices, Exxon makes $500 million more. So when oil prices move up $20, you're talking about billions of dollars in additional profit for Exxon. The stock is trading at 12-month high. And so is Chevron. A lot of the integrated oil companies are reaching their 52-week high. And they have lagged the market for quite a long time, and they are playing catch-up.
Well, are Exxon and Chevron, you know, you divide those companies into four different operations. Are they making money on all four?
They are making money on four-cylinder or eight-cylinder, how many cylinders they have. They're making money from selling, obviously, crude oil. The only weak spot for both companies, and more for Exxon, is weak natural gas prices. Although natural gas prices are up significantly from they were only a few months ago, nevertheless, I'd rather have oil than gas anytime.
Right. Okay, and folks, you can't make money in stocks. Would you like to make 11.9% per year over the last decade? Do you want to make a double-digit return? You would have done that in Exxon. Fado, the consensus is weaker oil prices. Ken and I heard a whole amount of hot air 4 months ago, 5 months ago, lighting up on hydrocarbons. The opposite is going the other way. State the case for the next 12 months to 5 years of why I should be in the oil companies.
Well, number one, valuation is not really reflecting the $100 oil or more. Actually, the valuation is showing us about 70, about $75 to $80 per barrel. That is what baked in right now in the valuation. These companies have dividend that they continue to increase and have increased for the last 25 years. So, at least in a market like we have right now, people are saying, "I'm going to go with a company that is predictable, that I can make a living, you know, taking a dividend." With a dividend yield of 2.5% or 3.5%, it still beats the money market, and you have a stock that appreciated over the years in the double digits. So longer term, a lot of people would rather have an Exxon and not worry about what could happen to the market a year from now or months from now, but you have a stock that will always deliver at the end of the day.
And Ken, Savina Subramanian, excuse me, Bank of America Merrill Lynch strongly endorsed that strategy of Mr. Geitz today. Mm-hmm.
What about natural gas? We have a story this morning. We get another report from the government tomorrow on inventories. And we have a story this morning that natural gas seems to be heading back down around $2.
Well, unfortunately, natural gas prices will remain depressed because we cracked the code for unconventional gas. Technology has significantly improved the deliverability of natural gas, how to find it, how to produce it, and how to put it in the market. We are not going to unlearn that. We survived sub-$2 gas, and we can survive sub-$3 gas. I still believe that gas prices will rise. The question is not if and when and by how much. And the answer is there is that gas prices are already up by almost, 60% from they were only a few weeks back because they hit $1.90. Now they are trading close to $3. I still think that gas prices will go probably between $3.50 and $4 by the end of next year, but that is not going to make it easier for gas companies. It's much better for oil companies because they are still selling oil that is selling at significant premium to natural gas, almost 80% premium.
Well, might all that volatility turn people off who were maybe considering converting to natural gas, whether it's a homeowner or a, you know, giant electric company?
Well, it's great for user. I mean, this is a something that's a gift. And one thing that we should do in this country, not allow the export of natural gas. Natural gas should be a national resource that we should build our economy in. We should convert everything that can be converted to natural gas through, you know, legislations, you know, through easier laws and regulation to bring gas to market. Because, as I said, this is a competitive advantage. We should not give it away.
All right, look at that, and you look at the energy power of the nation. We had someone on the show the other day making very clear North Dakota has a depletion rate that is much different than what we see in Texas or the Gulf of Mexico. Can North Dakota be something over sooner rather than later?
Well, that's not true. I believe in, you know, in advancement and technology. North Dakota now is the second largest oil producer after Texas. It exceeded the Alaska oil production, which has been with us for almost 40 years. Technology continued to bring down costs, and we're going to see more cost decrease. And we are going to see also pipeline, because the difference in price for oil there is the transportation cost is about $10 to $12. So if we have a pipeline, the cost will cut back to about $2 or even less, and that will make it very profitable. It is the fastest growing oil production in the world, not in this country, but in the world, because technology, because there are 50 companies operating there, including just like who's who in the right. gas business, and Exxon and Shell and BP, everybody is there.
Fidelgate with us. And if you look at his screen on the Bloomberg, where he, to be polite, has done better than good, it's one big outperform. State the case, Fadel, why you literally take the entire group and called an outperform.
Well, the group is relative to the market. All stocks on average are down 10 to 15%. Only the large integrated oil companies, Chevron and Exxon, barely made it above the break-even for the year. Chevron is up 4%. Exxon is up 3%. The S&P is up double digit, obviously. So valuation is compelling. These stocks are still trading at significant discount on earnings and cash flow to the rest of the market. They have much higher dividend yield. They have pristine balance sheet. Chevron has $22 billion in cash. That's double their total debt. Exxon has $17 or $18 billion.
What are they waiting for with that cash? Why don't they deploy it?
Well, a couple of things. Their argument is that you cannot trust the oil market. They do believe oil prices are inflated. They don't know whether they will correct or not. But if they do, they are obviously able to continue with their capital spending.
Do they hold that in cash? I mean, I would assume right now Exxon could go out and get a gajillion dollars at 32 basis points above LIBOR and do a 10% stock retirement.
To tell you the truth, I've been in this business for a long time, and I still do not buy the argument that we need the cash because they can borrow they can borrow money for 2 or 3%.
And folks, Richard Fisher of the Dallas Fed brought this up today with Texas Instruments. These corporations are playing by a different rule book. Exxon, 82,000 employees. Holly Frontier, 2,400 employees. You've got an outperform on both. I assume Exxon doesn't even talk to Holly Frontier. Who is Holly Frontier of Dallas, Texas?
Holly Frontier is a wonderful, well-managed, small oil refining company. Their refineries are basically centrally located in the mid-continent. They are away from all coast, and they take huge advantage of the disparity in seaborne crude and inland crude. So the Bakken production and all this increase in non-conventional oil is basically a godsend gift for Holly Frontier. The company has been printing money literally in the last 2 years. They increase dividend. They pay four times special dividend. They're buying back their stock faster. They can catch up with it.
May I suggest, this is so important, folks, that just possibly the August management of these stodgy big companies might learn something from Mike Jennings?
Absolutely. But again, these companies, they do not change very easily. It will take a long time before we see a turnaround in these companies. Most investors prefer pure plays. They like a refining company. They like an E&P company, producing company. Focus on something. Don't be jack of all trade and master of none. This integration has been the theme over the last 3 years. We see ConocoPhillips split itself in two companies. We see Marathon Petroleum splitting itself in two companies. We see Hess, for all practical purposes, split itself in two companies. Murphy is doing the same. So we are seeing the smaller integrated companies breaking themselves up into two separate units, one to produce oil and gas and one to do refining and marketing.
I want Ken to jump in here because I'm going to monopolize a conversation. Folks, focus on this. Total of France, the ultimate state-run stodgy group, 7 or 8% annual return. Exxon, 11 or 12% annual return. Holly Frontier, 36.3% 10-year per year annual return. That's an Apple-like return by having the courage to return cash. I am off my pulpit.
HFC is the ticker symbol. Let's get back to ExxonMobil for a minute. With all that cash, dividend hike, share buyback?
Well, they increased the dividend by 21%. They have been paying dividend. They have increased the dividend every year for the last 25 years. But obviously, the company is sitting on a huge pile of cash. The financial, for all practical purposes, ExxonMobil can go in the market and borrow $40 billion at 3% and buy back its stock. They can do a lot with their financial flexibility. The more cash in the balance sheet is really detriment to their return on capital because basically you have a lot of money sitting not earning enough. ExxonMobil, they have a return of above 20%, but the cash is earning nothing. So therefore, I'd rather go and borrow money and invest in the business or borrow money and buy back my stock. Their claim is that they don't have the capacity to manage more projects. They are stretched out. So ExxonMobil has kept the number of employees for the last 20 years. They didn't increase their headcount. But obviously, their business grew severalfold over the last 20 years.
I just, Fado, you've been doing this for decades. Is there a new culture among these big oil companies to reward shareholders with cash? Or is it business as usual, where they essentially think they're a financial company that happens to be out in a pickup truck looking for oil?
Well, a couple of things. I think the market changed, but these companies are resisting the change. These companies.
Thank you.
This is something that it has to, and unfortunately, there are only a few of them left. There are only, I would call, six major companies around the world. And these guys, they better change with the changes in the market, because investors are looking at different. They are serving yesterday's food. Investor want the fresh food, the fresh ideas. But their thought here is that commodity prices are unpredictable. So therefore, we want to stay the course. And unfortunately, investors are not buying a stock for 10 years or 15 years. They are buying a stock for the next, because money management firms, they operate on a quarterly basis or an annual basis. They are, it's unlike Exxon making an investment that will take 20 or 30 years.
This is great. Fadel, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. He is with Oppenheimer and Company.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.